Well, I want to take you on a little journey, so if you'll just bow your head. Say, Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear, eyes to see what your Spirit is trying to say to me. Amen? I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 17. And I'm going to use the Amplified the very first time around because there was a press in my spirit to declare that word that he showed me, which is verse 5. Verse 5 is the focus that I think needs to be understood. Jeremiah was like everyone else. He wanted to do, and he wanted to work, and he wanted to do, and he wanted to work. So I won't go to verse 1 just yet, but I want you to go to verse 5, and I'm going to use the Amplified. So if you don't have the Amplified, just close your eyes and let the word go in, okay? Verse 5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turns aside from the Lord." You say, whoa, what are you getting at? I'm going to take you back now, and we're going to look at it in the NIV. Because again, Jeremiah has not been a very, let's say, comfortable man in that he was given all kinds of jobs from the Lord. So I'm going to read verse 5 again, but this time the NIV. And he said, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man," and in parentheses I have the word Adam, "who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Now that's not exactly comfortable talk, is it? And we have a habit of being dependent on what and who we are because of our training. Now, verse 1 says, "Judah, sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point, on the tablet of their hearts, and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles, besides the spreading trees and on the high hills. My mountains and the land and your wealth and all your treasures I will give away as plunder, together with your high places, because of sin throughout your country. Through your own fault you will lose the inheritance I gave you, and I will enslave you to your enemies in a land you do not know, for you have kindled my anger, and it burns forever, and it will burn forever. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." Verse 7 is where you should really now take a peek. "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. There's your animals. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? The Lord searches the heart and examines the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve, etc. Now I want to kind of give you another peek at another word that confirms 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in or with me. That's St. Paul speaking. And he's talking about favor and grace that's working in him to do a work. So where would you be without the grace of God? There isn't one of us that can boast God is the one who enables us to stand, to overcome, and to be a people pleasing to his heart. Nobody likes to think about the areas where we are weak. We want to think about our strength, but the truth is, God makes us strong in those weak places as we learn or lean into his presence. He fills in the gaps. Many times the Lord will push us into the place we would rather not go so that he can pull out the dependency factor in our lives. Sure, we can go on doing the things we are most comfortable with and maybe not need to trust the Lord as much. The more we look at things, we will see that he puts us in position that makes us trust in him. Right when we think we've got it all, our ducks in a row, he will do something to create that dependency factor in our hearts. In other words, as you keep on going in your everyday life, you're going to learn that cursed the man that trusts in his own flesh, because he's trusting in the Adamic nature. But there is no better place to be than to be a codependent on God. When challenges arise, there is always a choice to be made in our response. Do we respond by leaning into God even more? Or do we think, or do we take things into our own hands? Amen. Doing things in the strength of our flesh. The one thing God is after is our whole heart. He will make every effort to pull our hearts towards him. It is amazing how he will use just about anything to bring us around to his direction. He only has good in store for us. At the same time, everything has a price tag, a personal cost. Not that we pay God or work for anything, but there is a cost in following the Lord. Just the fact that he is Lord means that we are not. So look at your neighbor and say, get a clue. He is Lord. And you are not. You might play the role, but my suggestion, quit now while you're ahead. This is a sacrifice. We get the choice every day to give him the lordship over our lives, trusting in his goodness. In that place, his grace is sufficient for us completely and perfectly. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us out of his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you down. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. So I stress the fact that may the God of all grace perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you down so that he can do the work he wants to do if you will only quit from the Adamic stuff that you're doing now. Amen. Do I get a little tiny amen? Amen? So it's time to retire from your old ways of doing things. Now, how are you going to do that?
With lots and lots of grace. Lots and lots of unmerited favor. And if he did it for Paul, he can do it through you and me.
Now, how many times that we make a decision, oh, well, I'm going to get it right this time. And what do?
We go right back into the old pattern.
And I'm not blaming anybody because I've done it. And I still find myself doing it. Now you say, well, where did you get this from? It comes from John Belt. He is the God of all grace who is able to cause his goodness to abound in our lives. As we embrace a yielded life, surrendering to his call, he will cause rivers to spring forth in the desert and bring forth blossoms from barren soil. God's love knows no end. He will go all out to bring us closer to himself. He will go all out to draw us to himself. And while we're on our way, we usually complain every step of the way, because we like doing it on our own. Because that's what we were brought up. I remember, if you don't do the work, it's not going to get done. Now, that's fine for doing the housework and the dishes and the, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that you should be lazy. That's not the point. But I can truly tell you that the hardest job is to find a place to be quiet before him. Your schedule is going to be torn into every direction. Your telephone will ring when you don't want it to. The doorknobs will, somebody pushes the buttons. And it's irritating because you cannot what? Be quiet before him. I have a solution. Oh, I did that. I also did something else. I said, Lord, wake me when you know I need to be awakened. So guess what time he started with? 3 a.m. 3 a.m. was his... Now he's got me up at 5, 5.15, 5.30... I don't know what he did. He changed the schedule or something because we got a blood moon coming. No, I'm teasing. I don't want to make light of that. But, you know, he's changed it. But for years it was 3 a.m.
For how long?
How long? An hour and a half.
And then you go right back to sleep?
Like a... The minute I lay down, and it irritates my wife because... When I'm done my day, it's time, I just know it's time to go to bed. I give her a kiss goodnight, I roll over, and that's it. Yeah, that's it. There's nothing else to say. It's time for sleep. And she'll say to me, I can't sleep. I said, would you please start your confession in a different way? But I haven't been able to convince her of that, so I finally shut up. Sleep is a gift.
It is?
Yes. Amen? Yeah. It's a gift. Uh-huh. And if you try to work it up, go ahead, work your heart out. You'll be up all night. Okay?
Lift your hands to him. Say, Adam is now going on vacation.
Adam is now going on vacation.
That means the Adamic nature in me.
Gets a vacation.
And the spirit within me
is
coming alive to Christ. Holy Spirit, draw me to yourself.
Holy Spirit, draw me to yourself.
So that I can spend quality time whatever time slot you choose. And I'm sure you're going to give me enough rest to do all the things I need to do. Because I refuse to worry. Because that's wasted time. I'm not going to waste your hours, Lord. But I will sit before you. When you press my heart,
I surrender.
In Jesus' name.